and the Indiana Eric.
We just agreed he was going first.
Follow the form.
Work a third step.
I'm Sandy, I'm an addict.
Hi, Sandy.
So, powerlessness. I've been going through a lot lately, and I was just like about to lose my shit up there, so I'll try not to lose my shit. I don't know, in the beginning, like, for me, for many, many years, I was in denial. I didn't think I had a problem. I was on probation at age 12. Like, I just didn't think that, you know, I just thought what I was doing was normal, and that didn't come from my family because none of them are addicts. So once I finally surrendered, which was a jail sentence, I had been to Narcotics Anonymous. I had known what the program was. I was probably 18 when I first came here, and like, I thought it was crazy that some of the things my sponsor was asking me to do. That didn't, you know, I obviously didn't follow through. I didn't take suggestions. And I, you know, kept going back out for some research. But once that I, you know, like I said, the final time at a point was that I had went and did a state prison bid. And I came back and I did saw these people that were still here when I had left, and I was like, wow, you know, it must work. Could it work for me? I wasn't sure, but I started, you know, doing all the things that I was told to do by getting a sponsor and you know, getting a home group. And I stayed clean for about 8 years, and then I relapsed, and that relapse was the jarring experience that saved my life after about a year and a half of some more research. Like, I knew where I belonged the whole time. I knew that at that point that I was powerless over my addiction. The whole time I was using in this relapse, thank God for the people in Narcotics Anonymous, because they never gave up on me. They continuously told me to come back. Continuously loved me regardless of coming high or not. Continuously invited me to events and programs. There was like some shame and some guilt. It was hard because I had that much time, and like I had that shame and that guilt, and I didn't know what to do with it. I had to be humble and have, you know, have the courage, and I had to surrender to, like, getting a new sponsor. And I knew that I needed a sponsor that was going to be tough. And I remember I was at a Sunday Survivors meeting in town, and uh, and I asked this woman, I was scared to death, and she's like one of my really good friends today. You know, but I was scared to ask somebody to kick my ass. You know what I mean? To tell me the truth. Mm. And so I asked her to be my sponsor, and of course she said she would. And I worked the first three steps with her. And then I came here, and a woman that I had known for years, from Pittsburgh, I had always looked up to her and always wanted to have her as a sponsor, so I ended up switching at that time. And she's still my sponsor today. My clean date is 5/20/15. My home birth is Living Clean on Wednesday nights in Indiana. And it's, you know, a literature meeting. Love my home group. You know, it's small and very intimate. So, I don't know, like, you can have unmanageability in my life. I can have unmanageability in my life, like, about anything. The unmanageability starts when I stop going to meetings. And just recently, like, I had a little, I didn't really think it was that big of a break, but my son came home from prison. And I wanted so badly, this word would cry. I wanted so badly to have a relationship with him. He's been in and out of jail for like 10 years. And he belongs here. I know I'm not supposed to like claim that for him, but he most likely does. Right now he's like, you know, he's been to meetings, he's been here. Like me, like he doesn't think that he's powerless over alcohol. He's experimented with everything, but like I just want to have a relationship with him. I feel like we've missed so much between my addiction and his addiction. So he came home and he started staying with his girlfriend, and then that didn't work out because he was in the hole for like 9 months, and so he came out a little fucked up. And so I allowed him to come to my home. These are things like that I should have been talking to my sponsor about. And instead, like, I was running on self-will, that I wanted this relationship so bad. I really didn't care if it was going to cause unmanageability. I was scared that it was going to cause unmanageability in my life. But I wanted it so bad. And it went well. It went really well for, like, I don't know, 2.5 months. Like, he literally got his own apartment. I enabled him and got him a job, you know, but like we were bonding. Like, there wasn't any arguments. There wasn't any, you know, he was doing things around the house for me and stuff. And, but there were times where, like, spending time with him was more important than going to a meeting. And some of my friends in the program came to me and, you know, said, like, I'm worried about you. You're not going to the meetings. I feel like you're going to, you know, fall off. And I have relapsed with him, so I understood their concern. But, like, because, like I said, that was the rigorous relapse that I had, and I feel like I'm better filled, like, spiritually than I ever was. And so I didn't see it. I tend to be codependent, and, like, you know, I just didn't... I didn't see what they were seeing. But in any case, I made some financial decisions with him. You know, and they are worried about those things in the future, which, you know, I thought all that through. I was praying, not as much as I should, but... I don't know, like, I gave and I gave and I gave, and, I asked him to go on a vacation with me, and, I asked him if he would not drink. So I set an expectation that he wouldn't. When he was in my home drinking, and I wasn't concerned about it, but like I said, I have relapsed with him, so went on vacation, he drank. People said, are you really surprised? And it wasn't like a bad thing. He went off on his own. He really, you know, he wasn't trashed or anything. But I didn't want him to jeopardize the other people that I wanted. And he said he wasn't going to do it again. He said that he was good, and that it caused too much drama. And so, like he said, he wouldn't, but he did. So, setting expectations caused unmanageability in my life. I've been going through what I think is menopause. So, like, I became a wreck. Like, I was so scared for other people, not myself, but I was scared for others. So, I don't know. You know, when these people came to me, I finally got honest with my sponsor, and she literally, like, I've never seen her this way before, but she, like, flipped the fuck out on me. And, like, I was taken back by her reaction. Because again, I didn't see the unmanageability, and so I don't know. Like, you know, I got honest with her. I let her know. She let me know what the, you know, consequences could be. She had me start praying. I started calling her every day again. Like, after the denial piece, like, I became willing again. That's where the willingness comes in. And, like, I started reading it just for today again. Like, I wasn't doing that every day. So I just went back to the basics. Like, in the beginning, says like it says in step two, like that we became, we came to believe. And I was raised in a Christian home. My dad was a minister. I was rebellious. I never really, I mean, I grasped it and I learned it, but with this program, I learned what spirituality is, and it's totally different. I like don't attend church on a regular basis anymore, but like my mom completely understands. Like she wishes I would, and sometimes I do. I never thought I'd be that person, like, oh, they're here, it's Christmas time, you know, but that's me now. Like, I go to please my mother, you know, occasionally, not a lot, because I'd rather go down to my house, I have this, like, crick, and I'd rather go down there and sit and talk to God than yeah. You know, go to church and do all that. And the honesty piece, like, really, you know, I saw that I wasn't being honest with my sponsor. Somebody said to me the other day, and I posted it, like, the more truth you tell, the more help you're going to get. If I continue to lie to myself, you know, I'm only fooling myself. I'm not going to get the help that I need. And asking help is like the number one thing in this program, I believe, that we need to do. Because if you don't ask for help, like, people don't know what you're going through. We lose people that don't ask for help or don't want to receive help. I've lost quite a few people over the years, and they were so young. Like that's the hurt piece. I was driving up here last night with a gentleman, and you know, 22, 23, 30, like, we have our whole lives to live. And so I have to stay vigilant, I have to stay teachable, I have to stay open-minded. Like, if I don't, if I have, you know, issues with other people in the rooms, like, I really try not to judge people, because everybody deserves to be here. You know, each and every one of us is worth recovery. I work in recovery, all the more reason that I need to stay in recovery, because it gets tough, and it's exhausting. You know, so I try to, so like through all this, I had to make some adjustments. I'm trying to go to some different meetings, hear some different voices, reconnect with the people that helped me in the beginning. You know, and that's not to say that a newcomer can't help me, because I absolutely will hang out with newcomers. I love to share hope. I love to give hugs. I love to bring people to this retreat. And at one point I was like, well, fuck it, I'm gonna go this year. Like, I'm just, you know, my anger and my madness can just tell you to, like, you know, that's our disease. Our disease tells us, like, don't, don't do the things they want you to do. You know, you'll be okay. And I know better. I know better. So I've been real honest with my sponsor. I've been calling her every day. I've been talking to people. Unmanageability can also, like, take me back to, like, taking care of yourself. Like, I heard the other day, and I called someone before I got here. I was sitting up there, and I got on the phone. He's not even in recovery. And he was like, "You're the most important person." And I was like, "Oh my God, I just heard that in a training." And like, you're the most important person, Lance. Like, we're all the most important. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't help each other. And, you know, it just clicked. I realized that my we had shrunk and it had gotten small and I had gotten comfortable. And that's not healthy. I started, like, making appointments and taking care of my health and, you know, trying to figure out what, why I was being so emotional. Sad doesn't fit on me. I don't like it, but then I have to realize, too, like, I don't have to be, I don't have to be a pillar just because I have a little bit of time. Like, I don't have to always have my shit together. Like, it's okay to be okay. It's okay not to be okay.
Mm-hmm. My girl.
So there was a lot of lessons learned from all the things that have happened in the last few months. I just am grateful for the people in my life that are there consistently. Because it hurts when you're going through stuff and, you know, the people that you thought were there for you aren't. It hurts a lot. But that's their shit. It's not my shit. Uh-huh. And so I have to remember that. Like, because we all recover at our own pace. We all, you know, I continue. I did a lot of writing. And I'm hoping to share that with my sponsor next weekend. And that's healing. I'm just trying to heal from it now. And I said, like, this retreat always brings, like, a recharge in my spirituality.
Yes.
It always brings me back to grounding. I love going to retreats. Love going to speaker jams. I love what this program has given me. Like, I couldn't have taken my son on a vacation without an A, you know? So I'm grateful today, and I try to, you know, add to that list at every little moment that I have that, you know, when I, because it's just little simple things, like waking up in the morning, having a job, a steady job, just being able to call my mother every day. She's 92.
Wow.
And she's worried, and I don't want to worry her. But I call her every day just to let her know I'm okay. Like, I'm not losing my shit. She's always been a pillar in our family. So, she's grateful for this program because it gave her daughter back.
Yes.
And I'm grateful that I can be a daughter, a grandmother, you know, an aunt, a mother, my daughter's kind of been raised the last 15 years in NA, and she loves each and every one of you because you you helped me be a mom to her. That's all I got.
Woo!
Thank you.
All right, I would like to introduce our second speaker, Joe P. from the Hug Life Group in the Somerset area of NA.
Howdy, my name's Joe. I'm an addict.
Howdy, Joe.
I'd like to thank the committee, Tyler, for asking me if I was willing. He showed up. He's like, are you willing for Narcotics Anonymous? I'm like, yeah. What's that mean? It's like, I need you at 8 a.m. Like, oh, man. If anybody knows me, too, like, I struggle. I'm not a morning person. Straight struggle bus this morning. Yeah, slamming coffee. I put on banjo music to wake up. My girlfriend loved it. But, man. So I'm just going to go 1, 2, and 3. And first I got to say, like, it's crazy. Like, last night I was driving here, and, like, I was coming up over the hill, yonder forth in the back there, and, you know, the sun's starting to set, and I just got overwhelmed with joy. This is, like, my old stomping ground, like, in active addiction. I used to, Mostel Road's over that way, I used to park there every day, skip school, and go to sleep. I used to drive around this damn 4 hours every day and just like waste my life, dude. And it's crazy that like when I got clean, I found out there was a retreat here, and I'm like, this is in my backyard. Like, I know these roads. I parked here to do that. I stopped there to do this. You know, like, I did some cow tipping around here, you know. Like, this is like my stomping grounds. And I was so pumped, man, when I found out there was a retreat like in our area that happened here, and like I've been coming every year since, and it's a beautiful thing. Like, I love this place. I love we all get together from all over the place and, you know, just camp out. I like to bebop from fire ring to fire ring in the back, you know, at night, and it's just cool. I'm happy to be here. So when it comes to the steps, man, like 1, 2, and 3 meant a whole different thing than they do now. Like, in the beginning, it was like, you know, this is it. Like, in the beginning, it was like my life was completely unmanageable, and like I needed to surrender in step one. And like that surrender for me then was like just looking at the unmanageability of my life, which was fucking blatant. You know, like, I was all alone, couldn't hold a job, destroyed everything around me, dude, and like no one would fuck with me. I was completely disconnected at the end. And like when I showed up in a treatment center and I heard H&I, like I kind of knew what Narcotics Anonymous was at that point. I showed up at a few meetings. I didn't participate. I didn't consider like the last time I like used them was a relapse, because like I was never working a program to start out with. Like, dude, I showed up at meetings late. You know, half the time I was wasted. I didn't get any numbers, like, I didn't do anything. So, but, like, when I woke up, came to in treatment, man, like, I was tired. And, talks about in the basic text, like, we know that, like, surrender moment. And I don't know if I can pinpoint it, but, like, man, I know I was just tired. I was so tired of being alone. I was, like, so tired of, like, trying to fight a battle I couldn't win. Like, there was no beating it. And, when H&I came in, that's why I love H&I, man. Like, a dude came in and he's like, what are you gonna do? Like, and that's when like I surrendered to the program of Narcotics Anonymous, man. And time goes on, like I surrender, I jump in the middle of the program and like literally jump in, dude. And I tell this to my sponsees and shit, man, like there's no standing on the fence. Because, like, if you hang out on that fence, you're going to fall off the wrong side. I've seen it too many times, dude. Like, I've done it. Like, when I didn't fully commit, like, I fell off. And so like I committed to this program, and like as it goes on, like into like step two, man, like came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I was like, I was weirded out with that at first, because I was like, I'm anti-God, bro. I don't believe in any of that shit. I believed in it when I wanted it to save my ass. You know, the foxhole prayers and stuff, like, dude, I was famous for that. I believed in it when I wanted it to kill me, when I was so tired of running, and like that little bit didn't make me feel any better, like, please, God, kill me. Like, I did that. But like when I came to this program, I was like, oh yeah, I don't believe in any of that, you know. And I didn't in the beginning. I didn't have an understanding. I still don't have a really understanding, but like I didn't like believe in anything. But I turned to the program, I turned to the people. Like I gained hope. And like in step two, man, step two is like that hope piece for me. Because like I didn't really believe in much. I didn't know what I was doing. I was hanging out, you know, I was doing what people ahead of me were doing, and like I gained hope. Like I saw people, like life's getting better, like things are like happening, you know. And it's not so much like the outside stuff, it was the inside stuff. Like I saw people that were happy, like genuinely like feeling it, man. And like that was step two for me, was like I found the hope, you know. The group showed me the way. So like for a long time, the group was like my higher power, man. There were things that held me accountable, man, like having a sponsor, like trying to work these steps to the best of my ability, even though I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. Like, I didn't know. I was so bad at homework. So then I was like, oh, step work's another form of homework. And then I realized it wasn't. It was more like an in work. And I've never done inside work before. So, like, that was really messy. And, you know. But, like, so, like, step two, like, I started to gain some hope, man. And then, like, moving on to step three, I remember, like, how am I gonna let something take my will? Like, guide me, man. Like, I didn't understand like what to do. And I remember some dude put it real simple. It was after a lead. I was talking to him, and he was like, "Yo, it's making a commitment. It's making a commitment to continue working these steps, like, and continue on with this program." And like, I could get behind that, man. Like, I didn't know like what like my higher power was yet. Like, I didn't really. And, like, I still don't know what it is, but, like, I was still, like, just believing it. Like, from step two, it was just the group for a long time. And then I started to believe in something greater myself. I started to look into the past and, like, see all the instances during active addiction whenever, like, my higher power was opening up doors or he was there to save my ass. And, like, then I, like, really started to believe. Like, so, like, when I moved into, like, step three, bro, like, I hope turned into trust, and like I started to trust the program, and I believe that if I continued on with the steps, if I continued on with like the program of Narcotics Anonymous, my life would get better. And like beyond a shadow of a doubt, it has. Like the old saying, like step one I can't, step two he can, step three why don't I let him, like that still applies today more than ever. And like, so a little bit of time, and it's crazy because like just like a little bit of time, I haven't been here that long, but like 1, 2, and 3 took on whole different meanings now, man. Like I can see the unmanageability in my life today clean when I stop doing those things. You know, when I stop going to meetings, I'm not praying as much, I'm not calling my sponsor, or lately it's being obsessed. Like I still get obsessed, I focus all on work. I gotta be work, things crazy at work, and then I'm letting other things fall off to the side, and I start to see it. And then when my spiritual, like, my, like, good spirituality, like, when I'm, like, in the Zen moment, when that starts to go off kilter and I start lashing out on my friends, my family, the people I love, then I'm like, yo, alright, something's going on. And this happened recently. I just had, like, I had a bad day Wednesday, and I've been pretty good. Like, so far I've been trying to find, like, balance, man. It's because I've been doing those things, I've been praying it up, you know. And, like, my life got unmanageable in one day. One day, just like that, just over work. And, it, like, I was, like, all the character defects came out to play that day. Like, I was lashing out on my friends, and I'm like, damn. I'm like, what happened? It's, like, because I came obsessed, man. Like, I didn't let go, you know, and let God take the wheel. I didn't ask him to, like, take my will today. you know, and like I watched it happen in one day just recently. I'm like, wow. And it just came to like, yo, this disease is still alive and well, still here, you know, and like when I'm not applying these principles to help fucking keep that shit under wrap, you know, letting God take the wheel, like it comes right back out to play. You know, and so like step one is that daily surrender for me every day. I still got to do it. Like, did I wake up this morning and pray? Did I listen to some music in the car to get zen up? I did. Twanging it up, you know, and like,
child.
That's right. Now, all right, and then like step two today is like believing in like what I'm doing, like I'll be okay, like taking these chances and stuff, like things I never thought I would do, which people in the program showed me, like I have hope today that as long as I work hard, you know, like apply myself to school, like I'll get through school, you know. Like, I see other people do it, man. My man talked about it last night. Like, there was my hope shot, you know. Dude just crushes it for school. I got my hope shot sitting in front of me. I got to see my friend graduate from college this year and, like, got invited to that shit, too, just to see him, like, loved it, you know. And, like, that's always cool. Like, so, like, I've got hope in the program. I see it every day, you know, and I see it through you guys, man. And, like, then back to, like, three in my daily life is just letting go of like the things I can't control, the situations, and like trusting that like my higher power's got my back, man. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Like I still want to control things. I'm definitely a control freak. When I got here, I was like, no, I don't have control issues. Like, what are you talking about? The longer I stay clean, the more like, yo, that's a blatant lie. I have control issues with work, with situations. Like I like to be like, well, it needs done this way. Like, you can't wash the dishes like that and clean the pump. You have to do it this way. You can ask my coworkers, you know. But, like, slowly but surely, like, I've let go. And it's like, it doesn't have to be my way, man. Like, God has many ways to do things, man. Like, and it doesn't always have to be in my time. And I trust that today, man. And truly, whenever I, like, I'm so much more happier. I'm so much more at peace when I'm, like, okay with what's going on, man. Trust that, like, you know, this is going to reach, like, an outcome. And might not be the outcome that I want here in the moment, but it's going to reach one, man. God will be all right. Like, so far, man, he's taking care of me. And through the ups and downs, dude, like, I'm truly blessed, man. Like, I'm truly blessed that, like, I got an opportunity to show up to Narcotics Anonymous, man, because, like, it's truly changed my life. I, like, listened to that dude last night, and, like, Sandy before me. Like, I've seen the ups and downs so far, man. Like, and, as long as I've applied those principles, as long as I fell back on the things so far, as long as I fall back on the things that I learned in the beginning, you know, staying connected with my sponsor, man, like praying every day, like trying to apply these principles in the steps every day to my best of my ability. And that's the whole trying piece. And like, no matter what comes along the bend, like around the corner, bend, corner, whatever, like so far I've been able to get through it clean. And it's not I've been able to get through it clean like we have. Like, every time I've gone through a hard situation, every time, like, I'm about to make, like, a real big life decision, like, I don't make it on my own. You know, like, I go to my friends, man. Like, that's where my higher power, God, my higher power speaks through me, through, like, my people. And, like, so far, when I actually, like, ask for help, you know, and, like, put my stuff out there, like, everything's gone well. So, like, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing and trying to apply these principles. Like, right now, I'm on step 10. And, like, I'm super proud of myself because I've been actually, like, committed to, like, and, hey, that's step 3, man, making that commitment, like, to continue on with the steps. And, like, in step 10, like, I'm committed to take my inventory every night. And it's crazy because that, like, just reaffirms that, like, you know, my disease is still alive and well. You know, I still act out, you know, and, like, I got to take my inventory last night, and it was pretty all right. I had a good day. I wasn't a total asshole, you know, so, like, a little bit, yeah, a little bit. I wrote that down, too, you know, but I didn't owe amends, I don't think, you know, and, so, Step 1 and 2 and 3, man, I applied every day, dude. And then I apply other steps every day, man. Like, this was the groundwork. Like, these three steps was the groundwork. These three steps I use on a daily basis. But, like, more importantly, it laid the foundation for me in Narcotics Anonymous to continue working the steps. Not doing the 1-2-3 shuffle. Like, keep moving on. There's more work to be done, dude. And, like, just for today, like, I'm pretty all right. That's all I got, guys.
All right, I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we have the reading of Just For Today, please?
I'm an addict named Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Just For Today, tell yourself. Just For Today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just For Today, I will have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery.